All right. So I think to start, we'll get your full name and then what year you were at UW in 67, and then what your major was.
Okay. I'm Daniel Stein. What was the.
What year you were.
Oh, I first came to the University of Wisconsin in 1964. In the fall.
All right. And then what was your major?
Well, I was in ILS. I don't know whether they still have that program. And then I majored in English and drama.
Okay.
English primarily was my major.
All right. All right. I think we should just dive right into it.
Sure, okay.
So did you know about what was happening prior to October 18th? Were you following the
Okay,
protests very
so
much?
let's go back to the beginning of this thing. Back then, I knew Ben Sidran. He was in school. Paul Soglin, he was in school then. The leaders, I knew Steve Miller. He was in school then too. All these people were in school. Evan Stark, I don't know whether that name has come up with for you. He was a leader of the anti-Vietnam. And Bob Cohn, I don't know whether that name has come up. He's was another leader. We all played softball on Whitty Field or Celery Hall Field. I think that might even still be there. Soglin, Sidran, Evan Stark, and I think Bob Cohn all played softball. The war was just kicking up then. They had something called teach-ins at that time. Teach-ins were led by Harvey Goldberg. I don't know whether that name's come up. And other professors, Mossy, George Mossy, was a history professor there. By the way, Harvey Goldberg, his class you couldn't get in, it was so popular. One time, he taught about the French Revolution. One time, the lights went off in his lecture, and he kept lecturing for about 10 minutes while the lights were off, as though he didn't notice that the lights were off for 10 minutes. He was an incredible person. Anyway, he was one of the professors that led the teach-ins that they had. This was way before Dow. This must have been. I was arrested once. Bob Cohn, this fellow with a black beard, tall, really imposing guy. He was kind of the more radical of the two. He had a girlfriend that I liked very much. I was attracted to. I was a freshman. So they all went to Truex Field. This must have been 64, maybe 65. They went to Truex Field. At that time, I was going just to, I didn't expect to be involved in anything, but Cone grabbed my arm and put me on the line, blocking. We were all arrested at Truex Field and actually had to appear in front of a judge later on that day. And that was the first, and I think that might have been in his film. There was a film that was made.
The War at Home?
Yes.
Okay.
And do you remember the name of the fellow that directed that? He was also a friend of mine, but I forgot his name.
I don't remember it
The
offhand.
War at Home. He was also a friend of mine. He filmed that, and so I was actually in the movie for a second or two of the Truex Field incident where we were all arrested. So the teach-ins were really the start of the movie. Now, at that time, there was also other stuff going on. There was a lot of drugs. Women had first gotten the birth control pill. There was a lot of sex going on with multiple partners. And there was something called open arts, which was going on, and that was 67, where There were be-ins at Picnic Point, mm-hmm. where people, lots of music. And I drifted more into the arts crowd, which was the movie maker, Ira Schneider, the musician, Steve Miller. I went to all Steve Miller's concerts because I roomed with one of his fellow musicians named Hart McNee, who played the saxophone. Mm-hmm. So the reason I roomed with Hart McNee as a freshman was because there was a swastika on Celery Hall, mirror, so I wanted to get out of there, mm-hmm. because the person that I roomed with had gone to Cuba and had been very vocal, spoken in Great Hall and been on the mm-hmm. radio. He wasn't even Jewish, but it didn't matter. So once the swastika was on, I moved in with Hart McNee, who was good friends with Miller. So I went everywhere over the state with the Steve Miller Band, kind mm-hmm. of helping with the instruments and so on. It was fascinating, and he was a great guy, is a great guy mm-hmm. at that time. So I moved in with that crowd. But I was also political, and I went to the civil rights. There was a bus that left here, went to Washington, stopped in Ripon, Wisconsin. So I was really involved with all of that stuff at that time.
Okay.
But I drifted more into the arts, music and movies crowd, mm-hmm. more intellectual crowd. But so as a freshman, I was kind of, I wasn't like the other freshmen that I was in with the seniors and a lot mm-hmm. of the people older than myself.
So you were following those. Obviously, you were.
I went to the be-ins.
You went to the be-ins. You were involved with a lot of these. Let's get to the events of October 18th.
Okay.
So I just to start, were you planning? Was there a lot of planning involved in this protest, or did you sort of spontaneously grow out of this culture of student activism?
There were I don't know what year it was, but there were National Guards on Bascom Hill.
Okay.
I don't know whether you knew that. There were National Guards on Park Street at the entrance to the hill there, mm-hmm. and they were all the way up on both sides. Those were National Guards. The cops were really hated at that time. The head of the police, I forgot his name, but he was bad. He was not a nice guy, and he was, the students were really, in the town, were not supported at all. They were considered almost the enemy. Mm-hmm. That contributed to the fueling mm-hmm. of the students. The Dow thing, I forget what year that was. That was 67?
67.
No, 67. By that time, I knew about it. I knew that it was a big thing, but they had also had a sit-in, they called it, at the administration building, mm-hmm. which was at that time on University Avenue. There, I was there. There were people packed into that administration building protesting something or other. Either it was the war. It must have been the war. Okay. But they were packed in. They must have been protesting Dow, and that must have been right before Dow came. But I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
But I was there. And as far as the Dow thing, I knew about it. I went. I knew right away that there was going to be big trouble there. Mm-hmm. So I didn't hang around and see the violence itself.
Okay.
I knew about it, and I'd had pretty much, I knew that something bad was going to happen. There were just the vibes before that. Mm-hmm. had been building and building and building.
Right.
And so I didn't see any of the beatings. Interesting thing is on the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal on Sunday last, there was pictures of people, and I recognized quite a few. I couldn't remember their names, but I recognized quite a few of the people in the picture.
Okay.
But I think that Evan Stark, who was a TA at the time, and Bob Cohn, who was the more radical of the two, mm-hmm. were involved all the way up until the Tao movement. They were really the spearheading, they and the professors, Goldberg and Mossi, were the ones that were really the leaders behind all, it was, I think Bob Cohen became SDS, not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much my experience. But I think the whole thing with the drugs, the sexual revolution that was going on then, all of these things turned off the police and the local authorities, and the mayor at the time was William Dyke, who became a judge in Dodgeville. I'm a lawyer, a retired lawyer.
Okay.
So I appeared in front of Judge Dyke, and I talked to him afterwards about it. He was mayor then. And so all of the town itself versus the students was building and building. It wasn't the police chief. It was the police chief of the university that was the bad actor.
All right.
And he was very well known at the time as being, tough on students and pro the war. So that the context of it, I think, and also involved the drugs and the sexual revolution, and the people in the town, that the town leaders were, it's very much against all of that. It's hard for you to imagine what Madison was like then. University Avenue was not like the way it was now. It was like the tiny street with a couple of little bars on it. I mean, Madison didn't look the way it does now. And I spent many years here as a student, and then as a law student as well, and then as a lawyer. So I've seen all of the changes. Soglin, by the way, was, I don't know how private this is, but Soglin was very different then. Soglin was very, very different then than he is now. Now he's become kind of your standard politician, but he wasn't that way when he was young. He was extremely radical at that time, and as you know, he went to Cuba shortly after he became alderman or mayor. And he was always standoffish. It was always difficult to get close to Paul, as opposed to Steve Miller, and Sidran was a little bit better. Sidran's a little standoffish too, but not like Paul. And so that's the background of what happened. But the actual events of Tao, I split. I knew what was going to happen. I saw the building up of it, and I just left. So.
Yeah, sort of like you look to the horizon, the storm clouds are rolling in.
Big time. Yeah, I mean, the administration building, when that had been occupied by the students, there was violence there. And then the National Guard, I remember a female student putting a flower in the gun. You know, that's become almost a cliche, but I actually saw that. Put a little daisy in his gun. Those National Guard students later killed people in Kent State, you know. So the National Guard was very involved. Of course, they were the same age as we were. So that was strange, seeing the National Guard on Bascom Hill. And in terms of time, I don't know how close that was to the Tao incident. But later on, of course, there was the bombing at Sterling Hall. And I forget what year that was, but I think that was around the time of Kent State.
If 70, I'm not, 71.
Yeah, so all of these things were... People were getting more and more radicalized until the Armstrong incident at Sterling Hall, which I think came after, didn't it? The Dow Chemical thing.
So
that it kept going on because the war kept going on. And I forget when Nixon was elected. He was supposed to end the war, but he didn't. It's just as bad, if not worse. People hated LBJ, who's now considered, you know, a good president. He was not considered, he was considered horrible. And also at that time, I should mention, this was the same period of time when Robert Kennedy was killed, when Martin Luther King was killed, and when the Black Panther movement started. So a lot was going on in the mid to late 60s and early 70s. without knowing all of that other stuff, it doesn't really make sense to say Dow Chemical at all. It all was a projection.
Mm-hmm. It all relates.
And yeah. And I remember Steve Miller saying to me that after the Jefferson Airplane album came out, mm-hmm. he said to me, I'm going to go and become a rock star. I'll never forget that. And everybody kind of laughed. I mean, he's mm-hmm. a good musician and everything. He said, I'm going to go and become a rock star. And he did. So there was an awful lot of great music then. So I drifted to that crowd rather than the political crowd, which mm-hmm. which after a while I didn't see much that we could do.
Okay.
So
all right.
That's my story.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to mention mm-hmm. about Harvey Goldberg because he was I'm glad I mentioned that incident about the lights going off and his continuing talking, because there was mm-hmm. something about him that I think sparked the students. As I say, you couldn't get into his class. His class was a big one, mm-hmm. one of those big ones in social science building, I believe it was.
Okay.
You couldn't get in. People mm-hmm. were standing. It was incredible. It was like he was a rock musician or something. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to mention that, and he was very instrumental in the teach-ins. Mm-hmm. But if I wish you could spend one day back in the 60s and you'd understand a lot more. Mm-hmm. But that's my story.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome.